Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whatever befalls me, Jesus doeth all things well. I don't know if you thought of those words as our brother led that song. Thank you, Jeff, for leading that. A song takes on a new meaning to me, though, when you look at Abraham and his life of faith. And then you view my little trials in life, your little trials in life. Okay, I don't mean to say that our trials are little, but they are little. When you have a big God that you can serve in faith, they're little. And may God help us. Well, I greet each one in Jesus' precious name this morning. Happy to be here and worship with you this morning. As I pondered what to share, and amazes me how the Lord leads, I've been pondering some thoughts from John. In my personal devotions, I'm reading from the book of John. And just going through their reading, and my study Bible, I made some notes in it because there were some new, as I was reading through, some thoughts came to me, and some, I don't know if they're all new thoughts, but I jotted them down in my study Bible, and then when I was asked, or said I would share this message this morning, my mind went to that. So you're going to get a message that comes from the book of John, and so you can turn in there in your Bibles. There's two stories here that happened that I want to read, and then we want to pull some thoughts from these two stories. And so we're not going to, this message I had this morning, if we jumped different places in the scripture, we could come up with some more thoughts of what could go with this message. But we're not going to do that. We're going to stick right here in John chapter 4 and chapter 5 and just pull some thoughts from this. John chapter 4, verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whoso drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he shall tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way unto the city and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I have sent you to reap whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own words, and said unto the woman, We believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now, after 2 days, he departed thence and went into Galilee. Now, we're going to stop reading in chapter 4. We're going to skip those rest of those verses. We're going to go down to chapter 5. And you can stand for reading these verses here in John chapter 5. The title of the message I gave this morning is in verse 6, Wilt Thou Be Made Whole? John chapter 5, verse 1. After this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Then Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had now been a long time in that case. He said unto them, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, Is it the Sabbath? It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed, and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed, and walk? And he that was healed wist not that who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. You may be seated. As I view this verse 6, and this is where I have sprung this message from, Wilt thou be made whole? You know, I view my own life, and I'm wearing these glasses because in the past few weeks here, I've had an eye that has bothered me. And I can't explain to you how much of me wanted that eye to get better. You take any injury to yourself and how much it hinders you from doing what you would like to do in a day. Thankful it is better. But I'm still wearing glasses just to protect against more injury to it. But as I think about that, how healed do I want to be? In the spiritual life, how healed do I want to be? Because this question that Jesus asked this man was for the physical healing, but there was also spiritual healing that came into this man's life. How healed do I want to be? Wilt thou be made whole? And so we're going to spring some thoughts between these two passages and look at these two passages, these two accounts, the woman at the well and this man that was by the pool of Bethesda. And I think there's some things that we can pull together that between these two accounts, as Jesus touched into their lives and he healed them, that made a difference in their lives. And we want to look at them a little bit. And so I have three main points to the message and some sub-points underneath these. But we have the need, we have the desire, and we have the availability. And those three I want to look at a little bit this morning. And there's probably many more we could pull out of here. I want to ask you this question. As you think about the need, as we go into the one on the need, did this woman in chapter 4 have a need? I mean, she was coming to draw water. What need did she have? Well, she had a need in her life. Because as you read that account, she needed living water. She needed Jesus. She needed salvation. But she didn't really know she needed it. The story goes on there, and she had gone through life. She had so many hurts, so many heartaches, so much pain in her life. You lose 5 husbands. Don't say you don't have pain. In fact, she was willing to live unmarried with a man at this point. She was in need. She had a great need. She didn't really know she needed it. It looked like just life to her. And you just deal with it as it comes along. Well, as we look at this account, we can say she needed healing from a life of sin. She was confused and uncertain about salvation, as you look in verse 20. Where are we going to go? And she started asking Jesus the questions. You know, where do you worship? She had a need. Well, today we have a need. And Jesus is there for us as well. And he just tasks us to just step out in faith. And he will guide us into all truth. And the same is what he was calling this lady in her, or this woman in her need. Just step out in faith and trust that I can give you living water and I have the salvation for you and begin the journey. And he will guide and direct. Well, he did in this woman's life. Now think about this chapter 5. Did this man have a need? The man by the pool of Bethesda, did he have a need? We say, well, yeah. He needed physical healing. That's what he was there for. Verse 6 there, the word lie would have the thought that he was helpless to walk without assistance. And if you read that account with that thought, that's what it is, and you read how he needed someone to help him down into the pool. Yeah, he had physical need. He must not have been able to walk to get in there very fast himself. So he had a need for physical healing. And so in this message, I want you to keep pondering the need. Wilt thou be made whole? And think about our own lives. What is the need? Is it emotional healing? Is it physical healing? Or is it spiritual healing? Well, we know we all need spiritual healing. We all need to come to Jesus. There is no other way to salvation. And Jesus had the answer for each and every one of these. Because he was there. Today he is here. He's there for us. In your need, he can give us healing. But the question he asks this man is, wilt thou be made whole? In your need, as you view your need, do you want to be made whole? How healed do I want to be? Let's look at the desire. The desire of this woman. When she heard about the living water, she said this, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not." Simple request. We don't like being thirsty, right? Well, it's wintertime. We don't think so much about it. Maybe we don't drink as often as we do in the summertime. But she was still thinking about that natural water. But you see, Jesus, in his touching in with people and searching their lives, searching who is there, as she was thinking about the natural water and saying, neither come hither to draw, she didn't want to have to come there to that well to draw. Jesus, in that conversation, was leading her to understand that it was salvation that she needed. That's the living water she needed. He was offering it to her. And Jesus could take away the thirst and the longing of a heart. Jesus could fill that in her hurt, in her confusion. Jesus could fill all that. I mean, this woman had 5 marriages, lost her husband. Emotional hurt. They were temporary. She might have been filled for a while with the things that a marriage can bring, but it was temporary when it was taken away. She had a need that needed to be helped, and the desire was there for the living water. And Jesus, as he opened that conversation with her, explained to her, as he just shared her history when she never shared it with him. And then Jesus said in chapter 4, let me find the verse that I have, verse 26, and Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. I'm that Christ, the one that you're desiring, the one that you are searching for, the Messiah that's coming, I'm he. And her faith in Jesus started at that time. Her desire was right, to have a faith in Jesus. Think about the man that in chapter 5 now, as we think of his desire, in that question in verse 6, wilt thou be made whole? Did he have a desire to be healed? Well, that's what he was there for, right? That's why he was there in this porch, in one of these 5 porches. It'd have been pretty foolish, not, for this man to say, well, it's pretty comfortable here underneath these porches. I've been supported here. Yeah, I know I can't walk. But what is it? No, his desire was to have healing, physical healing. He wanted healing, and he says that in this passage here, that as he was going for that water, others beat him to the healing of the water. Verse 7, he had no man to help him into the water. He wanted healing. He wanted healing. His answer says, I want healing. I'd like to get in that water when it's troubled, but I can't get there in time. Now, I think of this desire, and I want to just ponder a little bit. Maybe times in my life, or we can look at the world and say, as you meet people, there's so people that are okay with where they're at. They're just okay with where they're at. They don't really want to change. They really don't want the change that Jesus brings in their life. We read this account and we say that would have been foolish for these people to say, yeah, Jesus, we're okay with where we're at. Don't change anything for us. Many times in our lives, though, we can get to that. We don't like change a lot of times. in natural speaking. And in spiritual speaking, sometimes we can just, Satan likes to make us feel just pretty comfortable where we're at. Or maybe today people say, well, they don't maybe say it, but their live life is, yeah, Jesus is okay as long as he meets them on their terms, where they're at. We don't need you, maybe their lives say this, we don't need you, Jesus, until we have a big catastrophe in our life, a big trial of faith, and then all of a sudden we need you. My question is this, wilt thou be made whole? You see, it changed when their desire was. When their desire was to find Jesus, when their desire was to live more for Jesus, it was there for them, and he changed their life. The same as he can change our lives today. I'd like to think about availability for the rest of the message here. And we're going to look at Jesus a little, the life of Jesus a little more, and as some points that come out of him through this account here. Before we go into that, though, Jesus' availability. Jesus seems, as I read these two accounts, one of the thoughts that came out to me, Jesus seems to have searched out through it all. At the well, there was probably many people that came to that well. Many people. But he met this one woman, and he started the conversation with her, and led her through. Jesus seems to have searched out the needy people that desired healing. The ones with the need and the ones with the desire for healing. That's who Jesus seems to have sought out. Because I believe there was many came to that well for water. And I believe that under those five porches there was full of people that were sick and wanting to get into that water to be healed. And the power of Jesus could have came in there and just said, you're all healed. Go home. But we don't have that account that he did that. Somehow Jesus was drawn to these porches, Bethesda. And in that porches there, he walked down through there and he came to this one man. I believe he knew this man's need, and he knew his desire. And he was available to him for healing. Today, Jesus is everywhere. He wants to hand out healing to everyone. But you need to have the need, and you need to have the desire for healing. And you need to reach out to the availability that Jesus is for us. I'd just like to look now under this availability, a few things from this passage of what Jesus is, who he was as he walked this earth. Chapter 4. Jesus is human. The humanity of Jesus. We're approaching the Christmas season, and I couldn't help but think about it as I was pondering for this message. Approach the Christmas season, and we think about Jesus' birth through this time. Jesus coming to earth as a baby. He was God. God incarnate. But he became flesh and dwelt among us. And so as I look at chapter 4, and Jesus is walking. In verse 6, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. Jesus was tired. He had a human body. He was God, but he was human. And we have his humanity as he was being wearied on his journey. And so Jesus, as he was weary in his human flesh, still met those people, still met that woman that had that emotional and that spiritual journey that needed to happen in her life. And I look at my own life and I say, how many times do I overlook helping someone else because of my own weariness? And I forget to help them in their physical, emotional, or spiritual journey. Jesus didn't. He was available. I'd like to also think about the all-knowing Jesus. The second one under availability. All-knowing Jesus. Jesus knew all about this woman. Now, today we don't know that. When we look at people about us, we don't know all about them. And we know that he was all-knowing because he was God in a fleshly body. But in chapter 4, verse 16 through 18, let's read them again. Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saith thou truly. And that's when the woman said, I perceive that thou art a prophet. In other words, she started this belief that there's something about this man that, as he knew all about her, drew her to him. Today we can't know everything about everybody. And in our helping of them, we don't know it all. But God does, and he helps us. And our all-knowing Jesus that we serve and he lives within us can help us. Give us wisdom in every situation. Let's go to the next one, the compassion of Jesus. He met them on their level. You know, the Jews weren't to relate to the people of Samaria. In fact, you shouldn't have even been talking to her. But he met them where they were. He went and on the well, he met the woman as she came there, and that's where he talked to her. And the sick man, as he was walking through those porches, that's where he met him, where he was. And I'm thankful that Jesus today, in his compassion of us today, he meets us where we are. He is available to us wherever we are. Let's go on to the next one, the searching Jesus. He had a conversation with them. And we know this conversation. We read this account. His conversation, but he took the initiative. He opened the discussion with these people. In fact, he picked them out from a group of people. There was others there. We highlighted on that already. But a searching Jesus asked questions in their lives. In the woman, he brought about questions about getting water from the well. In the man at the pool, he asked, wilt thou be made whole? Today, Jesus asks us questions. As we read his word, he asks us questions. But maybe the questions can even come from those about us. Those, our brothers and sisters, as they are walking with us on the road to heaven, it's okay to ask each other questions. It should be. And in the conversation, wilt thou be made whole? Let's be available as Jesus was available. Let's be searching as Jesus was searching for the lost about us. Now, the last one I have. I'd like to look at the holiness of Jesus. In John chapter 5, verse 14 is the one I wanted to highlight in this. But let's start first of all and look at the same as we did on these other points. The holiness of Jesus, he saved them from their sins, not in their sins. Each and every one of these people. The woman at the well, and the man at the pool. The woman at the well believed. In fact, if you go back to chapter 4 now, jumping back to that, verse 29, as she went and told other people, come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? She believed. She went telling others about Jesus. And that testimony of the saving power of Jesus and her belief in him brought other sinners to Jesus. And in verse 42, and said unto the woman, now we believe. These are the other people that came when this woman told him. Now we believe, not because of thy sayings, but we have seen him ourselves. It's not from this woman's experience that the others were saved. It was from their own personal experience. The holiness of Jesus saved others from their sins, not in their sins. So today, we can call people to Jesus to save them from their sins. But in the end, it needs to be a personal experience of their own. There's nothing you can do to bring them or to save them from their sins. You can bring them to salvation, but you can't save them. And it may sound like a very elementary point, but many times you can see people try to help people, and we need to go beyond what we can do physically ourselves and bring them to Jesus, because ultimately Jesus is the one that changed them. That personal experience with him and the holiness of Jesus and his availability to save them from their sins. Well, this man at the pool desired healing as well. He was saved from his sins. And his life, his test of faith was that of obedience. Do you think this man would have never obeyed Jesus? When Jesus told him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. He just said, yeah, it feels comfortable here. And you know, this man probably knew it was wrong to carry that bed on the Sabbath day. What is your faith like? What is your obedience like? This man says, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. You see his obedience? It wasn't a question about whether it's a Sabbath day or not. It wasn't a question about whether. But you see, as Jesus was holy and he was talking to these people, the people realized there's something about this man, Jesus, that as they desired the healing and he gave commands to them, they wanted to obey. I believe this man desired it and wanted so bad to be healed that he was willing to do whatever Jesus said. He was going to obey him. Now in verse 5, going to chapter 5, verse 14, verse I was going to take you to. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and saith unto him, behold, thou art made whole. What did Jesus ask the man? Wilt thou be made whole? Jesus is telling this man, behold, thou art made whole. Physically, spiritually, emotionally, whatever you want to put there, you are made whole. There is healing has happened in your life. But did Jesus stop there with this man? No. Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more. Stop sinning. You can't go into sin again. You're not going to be whole anymore. Stop sinning, lest a worse thing come unto thee. What could be worse than hell? This message today takes care of the thought of a once saved, always saved religion. Jesus saves us. But to stay saved, we must have a walk of obedience with Him. We can't go back and dabble into sin. It will lead us away from Him, from Jesus. A few concluding thoughts as we ponder this message. I'd like to ask that question again. Wilt thou be made whole? You see, Jesus, if He was walking here in bodily form today, as He was to these two people, and He knew all about them, everything about them, there was nothing hid from Him. The same is true of us today. Jesus knows all about you. He knows your thoughts. He knows your down-sitting. He knows your uprising. He knows all about you. There is nothing hid. The question is, wilt thou be made whole? Because we all need Jesus. We each needed Jesus to save us personally. The provision is there. Jesus, the Son of God, came to this earth, lived a sinless life, died for each and every one of us, and He is risen again. The salvation is there. Wilt thou be made whole? This decision rests with each of us personally. It's a personal decision that each of us make every day. If we have been made whole, if you've given your life to Christ, Jesus' words to this man stands for us. Sin no more. May God help us to live that out in the day we are today. Let's kneel for prayer.